that you went on one because you were suffering from the pain of an abortion. But that wasn't the case, was it? You are not post-abortive, but you still went on one. Can you explain the reasons for that?
Sure, sure, Dave. Well, when we were in Michigan, we were involved in the pro-life movement with the youth. So we posted billboards, we hosted talks, pro-life talks for teens, and we took teens to the March for Life. So we were very involved. One of the billboards that we posted was Rachel's Vineyard billboard that showed the Divine Mercy image, and it said 1-800-HOPE-FOR-ME. And that was when I started having a feel for women that have experienced abortion and the pain they must be going through. And so I had a desire to help out and get involved in that ministry. I felt like it was just something that I would be good at and could empathize, even though I haven't had an abortion. So I contacted, in our own parish, there was a Rachel Vineyard coordinator, and I asked her about joining, and she said, well, anyone that wants to be involved in Rachel's Vineyard has to go on a retreat. And I said, well, I haven't had an abortion. And she said, well, we've all aborted God at some point. And that, you know, really, I recoiled at that, but I started to think about it. And through our sins and not always being open to God's will, that's true. We have aborted God's will at times. So I went on, I wasn't able to go on a retreat up in Michigan, but when I came to Dallas, I wanted to get involved. And so I reached out and signed up for a Rachel's Vineyard retreat, and it was one of the most healing experiences I've ever had. Even though I didn't have an abortion, I had had three miscarriages, so I was able to grieve and mourn the children that we lost through miscarriage, and even name those children and memorialize them. And I brought that home to, he was not a deacon at that time, but to Michael, and it was also very healing for him. So it's healing in a number of ways. So I had a heart for it and thought, okay, I'll be involved. I've gotten my retreat under my belt. Now I can just jump on board. Well, then we got called to the diaconate, and that's a 6-year commitment with both myself and Deacon Michael. So I had to put that on hold. But then Eileen said she would like us to be on a Rachel's Vineyard retreat, and we were thrilled to be able to serve as a couple.
You're referring to Eileen Kuhlman, Healing After Abortion Ministry Director, of course, and boy, she's an incredible woman. Let me thank you very much, Kathleen. Let me turn to Deacon Michael, because when Kathleen came home from this retreat, I think you had told me you noticed a difference, and you saw the impact that it had on her. That must have had an impact on you as well.
Yes. There was such a peace in her face and light in her eyes that I hadn't seen in quite some time. And we also were grieving other losses that we've had in our life. And Kathleen was able to heal from those losses. It was she was transformed, and she was, again, there was a peace. There was a solace there that I hadn't witnessed in Kathleen for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm. And you both will be involved as a married couple, and of course as a deacon, and as a facilitator, I think is your official title, Kathleen, on this upcoming Rachel's Vineyard retreat, June 14th through the 16th. And I want to reiterate, this is for men and women. This is not only for women, it's for couples, it's for, but basically anybody who's been impacted. Is that right, Deacon?
Yes and no. And we're not involved with the next retreat. There's another deacon and priest.
Oh, okay.
We'll be back at it in October. The Rachel's Vineyard retreat is geared towards women. But, for instance, a husband of one of the wives on our last retreat attended. But then he realized his abortion story, and he shared it with us from his past. The St. Joseph ministry and retreats are specific for men, because there is different types of suffering, mm-hmm. Betrayal, and so forth. So there's two different retreats, one for men, one for women, St. Joseph being for the men.
Yes, okay. So when you are a facilitator, Kathleen, what exactly is your role in the fall when you do, and I'm sure there will be somebody in a similar situation or role as you for the one here in June. What does that person do?
First of all, the retreat is just sacred ground. I mean, as Deacon has said, it's a transformative experience. So we walk with these women and experience their, their suffering, their healing, their joy. And so the facilitator basically does, we can do prayers, certain Bible readings. There's different activities on the retreat that are designed to heal, to get that wound out and to listen. There's a lot of listening on the retreat, and it's just a great retreat.
Yeah, sure is. Just want to remind everybody, this is the interview of the week. We're talking about Rachel's Vineyard retreat for women who are suffering from a past abortion. And as Deacon Michael Hastings said, oftentimes a husband, somebody, a man who's involved in it could attend as well. There are Project Joseph retreats that are geared specifically for men. You can find more information about Rachel's Vineyard retreats at racheldallas.org. You can also call 214-544-CARE. 214-544-2273, and you can email healing@racheldallas.org, healing@racheldallas.org. And Deacon Michael Hastings, talk about the transformation, because I know you have an analogy that has been very powerful as far as the person, the woman, or the man who comes in Friday night and who leaves on Sunday. Can you talk about that transformation?
Sure. So Friday night, when the retreatants are all together, you witness sorrow, you witness emptiness, you witness despair, and you witness it seems like they don't want to be there. In fact, I think all of the women in our case, they really did not want to be there. They did not want to be there. And then suddenly Sunday, it's the other side of the coin. They don't want to leave.
And you need them to get out.
We need to have them get out.
Yeah.
It's quite a transformation. A quick story about that. Retreat ends at 2 o'clock. This was Sunday of the Super Bowl. They finally left around 4:30, 4:45. And Father Mark Garrett and myself were kind of looking at each other like, the Super Bowl is about to start. And I said, yeah.
Because they're bonding, right?
Yeah, they're bonding.
And they want to talk to each other.
And we eventually, they made their way out and they went home. But then they bonded after the retreat. There's regular contact between the retreatants through text, through emails, going out to lunch, and so forth. So they've become sisters in Christ together, and they're still supporting each other on probably a daily, weekly basis.
And Kathleen, you have another analogy, a cocoon to butterfly analogy on this transformation. Can you speak on that?
Well, just the cocoon to butterfly really fails in comparison to the transformation on the retreat, because as we've said, on Friday evening, there's sorrow, there's pain, there's a feeling of condemnation, and through the presence of Jesus, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, through God the Father, through our Blessed Mother, it transforms these women, and they feel the love from their peers. They understand they're not the only ones that feel this way. They understand that through reconciliation, that the love of Jesus. And, the other analogy I like to say is the wound, a healing of a wound. So we all have our wounds. This retreat happens to address the wound of abortion. But how do we heal a wound? First, we have to be vulnerable and admit that we have a wound. Then we have to dress that wound. We have to look at it. We have to clean it up. Then we anoint it, and you can anoint it through the sacraments of communion, of reconciliation. We anoint that wound. Then we wrap the wound, and we think of the Blessed Mother wrapping her mantle around that wound and healing it. Well, then we're still left with a scar. We know that wound's there. We'll never forget it. But the scar, remember, scar tissue is much stronger than our regular tissue. So we come away with a strength. So there's just a lot of analogies. And as I said, it's sacred ground, seeing that transformation. In ministry, you often see encounters, people encountering Jesus, people encountering the Holy Spirit. We see that, but with Rachel's Vineyard, it's on steroids, because mm-hmm. you see it happen, you know, within 3 days, from desolation to absolute consolation. So it's as I said, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to witness that.
Yeah, and I can really sense this in y'all. You have been transformed through mm-hmm. these retreats. Deacon Michael, nothing can be quite so as transformative as just really understanding the mercy of God. And this plays prominently in a Rachel's Vineyard retreat, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. So the ice started to break late Friday evening when I gave a brief reflection on divine mercy. And the reflection focused on the infinite mercy of Jesus, and it's available for anyone. But at the end of the day, the only limiting factor is us wanting to receive this mercy. And I saw lights go off that women would say, that mercy's there. That forgiveness is there. I just have to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a peace in the room. So it's always a question. The light of the face of God is there. The mercy of Jesus is there. The power of the Holy Spirit's there. We always need to turn towards our Lord to receive the light, the mercy, and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And so much of this also has to do with identity, because people come in and they see themselves mm-hmm. probably in a very, very bad light. And they just, maybe they don't even think that God could ever forgive them, and they can't forgive themselves. But things change, doesn't it?
Yeah, they do. Saturday afternoon during the retreat, I kept hearing that theme, you know, who am I? And I thought to myself, well, that's answered in Ephesians chapter 1, where God's salvation plan is laid out for us by St. Paul, and it tells us who we truly are. We're truly the adopted children, children of God, his sons and daughters. We're redeemed. We're beloved. We're sealed. That's our true identity.
Mm-hmm.
And when that sunk in, especially with a couple of the women, they finally realize worth and purpose.
Yeah.
And they started looking into that lens as being a daughter of God.
One thing that always I find remarkable, not necessarily in a great way, but just how long it often takes a post-abortive person to go on a retreat like this. They walk wounded for sometimes 2-3 decades before they make this call. And so, Kathleen, if you could speak to the people who are listening right now, because I guarantee you there are people out there listening right now saying, you know what, they're talking to me, but I don't know if I'm ready, mm-hmm. you know. What would you say to that person?
Of course. Well, I would say one in four women have had an abortion by the time they're 45. That's a known statistic. And so there are many women out there that are walking around with the wound of abortion. And on the retreat that we facilitated, as Deacon Michael said, most of them were faithful daily, I don't know if you said this, daily communicants. So, but for example, one retreatant had someone suggest she go on the retreat because they sensed a healing. But I think part of it is just we have to be vulnerable. We have to say, okay, we need healing. And again, we all need healing, mm-hmm. but that we all have wounds that need healing. But to recognize our wound, and abortion is one wound that we have a beautiful retreat for to heal. So I would encourage, they would be tremendously blessed to come on this retreat.
All right, and you can find out more, racheldallas.org, or you can call 214-544-CARE, 214-544-2273. Calls are entirely confidential. Deacon Michael Hastings and Kathleen Hastings, husband and wife, are joining me now. They're from St. Joseph Parish in Richardson, married 39 years, two children, grandchildren, two and six grandchildren. And talk about the difference, Deacon Michael, about the difference between listening and fixing when it comes to folks who are brave and courageous enough to go on these retreats.
Yes. Well, my short time as a deacon, I found the most important part of the ministry is your presence. But the other part, which was formed into us during formation and also earlier on, a man named Dr. George Clark, our CHIRP director at St. Mark, brought the notion up to me, listening is probably the most powerful ministry. And when you listen, and you listen well, people know you're listening well. And when they are talking with somebody who's listening, they're solving their own problems. They're answering their own questions. And all you need to do is reflect back, well, what do you think of that? How does that make you feel? And so forth. And on this retreat, I had many occasions just to listen. And two of the women, they expressed concerns about telling their family. And what should they do? And I could just reflect back, what do you think you should do? And you need to pray on that. It will take courage. It'll take fortitude. But it also place yourself in your parents' shoes. Mm-hmm. Then 3 weeks later, the two women on our reunion retreat expressed and shared with us that both of them told their parents, their mom and dad, who are devout Catholics, and both sets of grandparents expressed that we have children in heaven. Thank you for sharing that with us. Mm. We now have somebody to pray for us.
Yeah,
it was so healing. It was healing in that their daughters could share this experience and share their love. And to me, that was the pinnacle of the whole retreat. It was truly a resurrection story of all this hurt and what do I say to my folks? What do I say to my family? And they were open and vulnerable, and they saw the mercy of Jesus coming through their parents to them, and it's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can almost just see it's like a 100-pound weight coming off your shoulder and all the guilt and everything that they've been dragging around for decades. And through Jesus Christ and his mercy, it all can be released.
Yep. Amen.
We are down to our last few minutes here with Deacon Michael and Kathleen Hastings talking about Rachel's Vineyard Retreats. The next one, Friday, June 14th to Saturday, June 16th. And I have been told, because provided great notes ahead of time by folks like Frank and Eileen, that Kathleen, you have a story about a man who went on a retreat in particular. Tell us about that. And maybe you can also reiterate, as I know Deacon Michael's already done, that the Rachel's Vineyard is primarily for women, but men can come, but under what circumstances? And tell us your story, if you would.
Right. A beautiful couple was on the retreat together, and the husband was there just to support his wife. And he had he didn't think he had any need for the retreat. But his wife encouraged him, because he had an abortion experience, to share that. And that's one of the things about the retreat that is so healing, is it is peer to peer. So he did share his story. And through that, he realized that he experienced healing through bringing that out into the open, bringing that experience out into the open, and allowing him to name his child, grieve his child. And so it was very healing for him and unexpected. It was a surprise. You know, it's the Holy Spirit always surprises us with healing. So we never know what to expect, what kind of glorious things are going to be happening on the retreat.
And am I right? I know a lady who drove somebody to an abortion clinic and didn't have the abortion themselves. And of course, you're an example of somebody that didn't have an abortion, went on one and was blessed by it. But there's a lot of different types of people that could go on this. And it doesn't necessarily have to mean that you went and got an abortion, but you could be, you know, somebody that encouraged somebody. There's a lot of people suffering in different ways. Am I right about that?
Well, that's true. And actually that reminds me of another point that, while this retreat is Catholic based, in other words, we experience many of the sacraments on the retreat, adoration, reconciliation, mass, you don't have to be Catholic to attend the retreat. So it is open to non-Catholics.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you for that clarification. Okay. In the final minute or two here, Deacon Michael Hastings, what should people do if they're listening right now? They want to register. Is there a cost? Maybe talk about the confidentiality. What is the process going forward for them?
Right. The best approach is to contact the Rachel Vineyard's coordinators at the phone number that David's been giving. Again, that number is 214-544-CARE, 214-544-CARE, or go to healing at, or go to racheldallas.org. There is a cost. It's a nominal cost. And if that's a cost that it would be a burden, there are scholarships and way to work that out. In fact, if you don't have transportation, there's volunteers that will get you to the retreat and back. There's a lot of accommodations. The goal is that we are all open. There is no judging. All there is a desire to help you heal. And from this healing, you will have a new lens on life. It's incredible.
Amen. We've got about 30 seconds remaining. Would you mind, Deacon Michael, leading us in a closing prayer? But we will have to leave it in about 30 seconds.
Okay. Come, Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we approach you as Pentecost is coming. We ask the Holy Spirit to touch all those who are listening, that they feel the Holy Spirit in their hearts, and their hearts are humbled and contrite, and they have the courage to be vulnerable, to come directly to your Son's divine mercy for healing and love. We ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you very much, Deacon Michael and Kathleen Hastings. And again, June 14th through the 16th, you can go to email healing@racheldallas.org or call 214-544-CARE, 214-544-2273. Thanks to Cecil for running the board. Thank you for listening. And we hope you have a blessed rest of your weekend. God bless you.
Are you a homeschooling parent and looking to recharge this summer, wanting to meet other homeschoolers in the DFW area, or completely new to Catholic home education and want to see if it's a good fit for your family? Come to the first ever DFW Catholic Home Educators Conference on June 28th and 29th at the University of Dallas. This year's theme is In the Heart of the Home, celebrating the beauty of Catholic homeschooling. Come find out more about Catholic homeschooling in DFW. Space is limited. Sign up today. For more information or to register, go to dfwchec.org. That is DFW Catholic Home Educator Conference.org.
How easy was it? As easy as getting pills in the mail.
After it was over, I thought things would go back to normal.
I just wanted to get on with the rest of my life.
It's been anything but easy.
Every day I'm sad or I cry about everything.
Guilt and shame are what I know best.
There is no normal anymore.
I'm so alone.
I miss my child.
I miss who I was, and I regret what I did.
Are you suffering from a past abortion? If you are, you may feel alone, but you're not. There are people who understand and can help. Call 214-544-CARE or go to racheldallas.org.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is the KTH 910 AM Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. I'm Dave Palmer. Cecil Anderson is on the other side of the glass. And We love talking about things that will help you in your spiritual life. And you, if you are somebody who likes devotionals, you probably have heard of a novena. Or maybe you're somebody that's just tuning into the Catholic radio station for the first time ever, and you're like, a what? A novena? Huh? So we have a broad spectrum of knowledge of novenas. But I guarantee you, you're going to learn something during the next 25 minutes, because I have Diane Voren in studio with me, and she is somebody that I have come to know through business, because she is a division advisor and publisher with Decided Excellence. They put out these cool regional Catholic magazines, and we'll talk a little bit about that at the end of the interview, and that might be something that you're interested in as well. But our primary topic today is novenas, and this is something that Diane has a particular interest in. And what are they? When did she first learn about them? What are the different types? How are they used? What is the power in them? And that kind of stuff. Okay, so that's what we'll talk about. I will say that Diane and her husband Maurice are proud parents of five children ranging from 32 to 17, and they worship at St. Anne Parish in Capel. And so, having all said all that, I welcome Diane Voren to the studio. Thank you, Diane. Good to see you.
Dave, thank you so much for having me.
I know you were a little reluctant at first about this topic, but when you told me that you wanted to talk about novenas, I was really excited about it, because first of all my interviews that I've done, I don't know that I've ever talked specifically about novenas, especially in a general sense. Maybe a specific novena, but not generally what they are. So I'm excited about this. So thank you so much. So let's start off with just the most basic question. What is a novena?
Yeah, that's a great question. And when you talked about who this might apply to, it's funny because 25 years ago, that was me. Yeah, I had never heard of a novena. So what it is, the word novena means nine. Mm-hmm. And this devotional is typically a prayer that you pray nine times repeatedly for 9 days. And you typically receive a very specific grace by day 8 or 9.
Mm.
And it's very powerful. There are so many miracles that have come from praying novenas.
Yeah, got to be a little patient, huh? Because you may not feel anything, so to speak. Feel may not be the best word, but results may come a little later.
Yeah.
And so, I want to come back to that for sure, the graces that flow from this. So you mentioned, 25 years ago, you had never heard about it. So when and under what circumstances were you first introduced to novenas?
So I was a single mom with a 7-year-old daughter, and I would call my mom once a week. She lives in Wisconsin, and even though I'm a cradle Catholic, I don't think I had ever really heard a novena before, but my mom told me about a St. Therese novena that she had prayed. She didn't tell me how many days, but she said, you know, I prayed this over and over for several days, and then I got this result. So after I hung up with her, I thought, well, you know, I really love being a mom to Katie, but I'd really love to share it with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be great to have a husband father figure in this home? And I thought, you know what? I'm going to try one of those novenas.
Yeah.
And I didn't have access to the internet at home or anything like that to Google and, you know, print one out. So I just said, okay, I'm just going to figure this out. I'm going to write something down. I'm going to pray it over and over. So what I did is I wrote a specific novena myself to St. Joseph, and I prayed it 30 days in a row with 10 Our Fathers, 10 Hail Marys, and 10 Glory Bees. And I didn't know that there was actually a 30-day novena to St. Joseph. Had no idea.
You're reinventing the wheel,
yeah,
huh? Yeah.
And so I prayed my little novena and got very dramatic results at the end.
Yeah. So back then, if it was a long time ago, you didn't have the internet where you could just go do a search. Yeah. You probably would have had to go into the library. The researching was a little bit more challenging. So now, why did you pick 30 days? Because a novena typically is 9 days. So why 30?
I have no idea. The truth is, it just popped in my heart, do this for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, 30 days, I'll do it for 30 days. I'm going to, whatever that novena thing is, I'm going to do it solid for 30 days. I think it was just a Holy Spirit thing that it popped in my heart to do 30 days.
Yeah. So you were a single mom, a young daughter, and the prayer was maybe bring somebody into your life or stabilize your life and relationships.
Yeah.
And you said it was answered pretty powerfully. Tell us about that.
Okay. Yeah. I basically said, God, I love being you know, the mother to Katie, but I'd love to share it with somebody. Mm-hmm. So if it's your will, please send a husband father for us. And if not, we're doing great. Thank you so much, God. I just kind of put it in his hands, you know, because yeah. I loved being her mother. And what happened was so crazy. I was on a 2-week free trial from a website called Match.com. And I was just, you know, like, let me just kind of test this whole, mm-hmm. you know, dating thing out. Let's just see what's going on with it. And I remember getting a message from somebody and looking at the picture. And I kind of said, whoa, that guy looks just like Katie's dad.
Oh, really?
And I thought, oh, that's strange. And then I read the message. And, of course, it was her biological father who reached out in a very sweet and humble way and just kind of said, I don't know if you ever forgave me.
See, found him on Match.com. Wow.
Isn't
so this
crazy?
Is the biological father who you yeah. had been estranged from for a long time.
Yep. 7 years.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So obviously there were reasons for the breakup in the first place. So mm-hmm. you must have been a little apprehensive to get things going. But you're also at the same time saying, is this the answer to my prayer, right?
See, and truthfully, I was not. I was so blind. I was like, oh, that's such a funny coincidence. But I did not even think that this was an answer to my prayer. I just thought, oh, that's a guy I broke up with. Gosh, how funny that he reached out to me. I wasn't even thinking that was the answer to the novena. I was still kind of waiting for that.
Uh-huh. Had y'all been married? Or,
no.
Or, okay, this
no.
is just you had a child. Okay, in the
I
relationship.
I broke up with him when I was 5 months pregnant. So
okay.
literally.
So he had never met your daughter.
Yeah, we had
okay.
been estranged for many years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So inquiring minds want to know what happened yeah. next. I mean, did you respond yeah. or did you guys yeah. start up a relationship online or what?
The truth is I was in a very good place spiritually at that point
yeah.
and wasn't harboring those resentments that a 21-year-old single
yeah.
unwed mother, you know, pregnant woman was harboring. You know, I wasn't in that place anymore. So I was able to just say, hey, let's meet for lunch one day. You know, we'll just get to know each other and we'll see if it's a fit for you to be involved in Katie's life or not. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll just take it from there. But I was just thinking of it as maybe Katie gets a father. I wasn't thinking of it as all that I might be getting a husband. And it really surprised me when I started to feel those inklings. I said, okay, well, this novena thing worked. Let me try that again. Mm-hmm. And this time I had a nice little prayer card, you know, from the store that said the St. Therese novena. And the St. Therese novena is nice because you pray it for the 9 days, but you're supposed to get a rose if the answer is yes. So yeah. it's one of those clear-cut, you know, symbols.
Yeah.
So I prayed it, you know, thinking, well, God, if I am supposed to date this man, and, you know, please give me a rose and we'll try this out. And when I, at the end of the novena, I got like a card with a rose on it and I got confused.
Mm-hmm.
I said, God, I don't really know if this is, you know, I'm more confused now than ever. So I prayed.
But he's communicating with you. Yeah.
yeah. So I yeah. prayed to St. Therese and I said, St. Therese, this is great, but I need a symbol that's so obvious that a moron like me can't miss it. So I'm going to pray this again and please give me a good example of whether I'm supposed to go forward or not that, you know, I cannot possibly miss. And my aunt Kathleen, who my daughter is named after, she happened to be in the Holy Land. Now, I didn't know that, you know, she lives in Michigan. I live down here. But when she was in the Holy Land, she visited the St. Therese Shrine and she mailed me a dried rose from it.
Oh,
and when
really?
I got that rose, I said, okay, St. Therese, you came through.
That was during the novena or right afterwards. Okay. So now you're thinking, okay, these are some pretty tangible
yeah.
signs. So what happened next?
Yeah. So after that, even when we went through challenges, at least I knew that God wanted us together and this was
yeah.
the answer that I was supposed to. So that helps, you know, when uh-huh. you're going through something difficult, at least if you know the end result is X, you can work toward it, you know.
Yeah. So y'all got together and ended up getting married. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned at the beginning, 4 more children
right.
and still married to this day.
Yes.
And I met him. I remember at an event recently.
Yeah.
Wow. So praise God for that. So how have novenas continued to work in your life? Are there any other amazing stories like that or that you can speak of in you know, always praying for something through novenas?
Yeah, gosh, there are so many miracles that I've seen through novenas. Okay, I'll tell you one. We have 5 children that we put through Catholic elementary K through 8, And, you know, it was difficult with five young children and, you know, making ends meet. And, you know, Catholic school was a struggle. And I remember our first daughter went to a public high school because it was so much more expensive. And we had, you know, four other children. Our second daughter, though, it was very important for her. She really wanted to go to Ursuline with her friends. Mm-hmm. And she had had straight A's for years. And she did her part. You know, she really worked for it. And I remember it just didn't seem like it was financially going to work. But I told her, let's pray a novena. Let's, you know, ask St. Thomas Aquinas, who has helped me so many times. Mm. Let's pray one to him and just see where God wants you, you know, and then we'll just go with whatever God sends back. And a woman who homeschools her children, but went to the same church that we went to. So I knew her just from, you know, the church, not a lot of other reasons that I would know this woman, but she's very sweet. She called me one day and said, Diane, my husband and I know that you guys work so hard and that you've done such a good job with Catholic school. I just wanted to tell you that my husband is at the school right now paying for the tuition for next year for three of your children. And it was literally...
This is at Ursuline?
At St. Monica.
St. Monica, okay.
So that $20,000 of St. Monica equated to the 1 year at Ursuline.
Oh,
so
wow.
Literally God provided so that she could go to Ursuline for 1 year. And that's all we promised her. We said, you know, we're going to keep praying, but, you know, we've got 1 year, you can, you know. And, of course, she did get to keep going to Ursuline. But that was a beautiful shock. You know, this woman calls out of the blue and says, by the way.
Wow. This reminds me of, like, Mother Angelica stories where just these amazing, grace-filled things happen. But it's all because you prayed. And which leads me to my next question, because we want to make sure that nobody falls into superstition to believe that just because, you know, I want to win the lottery, so I'm going to do this 9-day novena. And I heard that interview on Catholic radio. That means that the 8th or 9th day, I'm going to win the lottery. It doesn't happen that way. And the answer isn't always yes, right? So can you explain that? Because I don't want to give anybody false hope that just because they do this, they're going to get exactly what they want.
Yeah, Dave, that is such a good point. And I think that's really the key to this, because you're not giving God a wish list and saying, I want X, Y, and Z. You're literally saying, I want your holy will to embrace me. I want to give you my trust and my discipline, and I will say positive affirmations toward what we want for the next 9 days, but I want you to show that to me, and I'm willing to accept whatever it is. And I think that's really why, because, you know, with most situations that we're concerned about, fear is really the biggest blocker,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if you're looking at fear, you can't see the faith on the other side.
Yeah.
So I think this really kind of overshadows the fear and makes it go away. And I think that's why you're able to get a good answer.
And it also would be true, wouldn't it, that God always answers it. It's not that he ignores it, but sometimes he's like, I don't want your child to go to Ursuline, perhaps. But in this case, he could, apparently that was his will. Yeah. Is there a novena for, like, everything? I mean, nowadays it's easy because you can go on the internet and you can search, you know, novena for this or that. I'm guessing there's a lot of options. How does somebody find the just right one at the right time for their particular need?
Yeah, that's such a great question. I have a book called Novena, and it's wonderful because it has so many saints that were so powerful and experienced in certain categories that you can look them up and pray their novena. Like, there's such a mental health crisis in the world right now, and Saint Dimpna is the perfect saint for the mental health, you know, novenas and like reparations and forgiveness. You know, Our Lady of Fatima is beautiful for that. So, yeah, Googling novenas there's so many of them out there now people can pray. Or just getting a book.
Yeah, here at the GRN, one thing that we've done that I think has really had a lot of spiritual benefit is that we do novenas as a company, with air quotes. Like right now, we're doing one to Mother Angelica. She's not a canonized saint yet, but and I want to ask you this, is that sometimes it's recommended that you pick a particular maybe feast day. Let's say you mentioned Thomas Aquinas. His feast day is January 28th. Well, could you start on January 21st and just kind of plan it out so that it culminates on a particular day? Would you recommend that?
I do. I've done that many times. That's so powerful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you can celebrate the feast day in such a positive way with your your saint friend too at the end.
Right, right. Yeah. So that is really interesting. And so do you find that your typical Catholic is more like you know, 25 years ago, or have there been kind of ebbs and flows of the popularity of novenas? And where do you think it is right now to the average Catholic? My guess is the average Catholic is not doing novenas, but what would you say?
Yeah, I would say there's more awareness of it now than there was 25 years ago, but mainly because I think there's a couple websites that are doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's one called Pray More Novenas.
Yeah.
And I have had people text me and say, hey, we're praying the blah, blah novena and thought of you or something. So I know that there are some people out there doing it now. So I think there's a little bit more awareness, but I think there still needs to be mm-hmm. much more. I think a lot of Catholics still don't even know what it is.
And you mentioned earlier, it really caught my attention, you said typically like the 8th or the 9th day. Mm-hmm. When the rose was mailed to you from the Holy Land, I think you said it was after the novena.
Yeah.
So what should people's, we mentioned already about don't be superstitious and, mm-hmm. God will answer it. But what should be a reasonable expectation? Like you do the St. Therese novena, and of course you could go find roses somewhere.
Yeah.
But,
mm-hmm.
How
right.
should people kind of, let God work in them without forcing it?
Yeah. I mean, that's the hardest part, but that's the key.
Yeah.
Because when you release it and let it go to Him, that's when you get the good results. I remember when my husband and I were engaged and we were about to start our marriage sessions with the priest. The first night that we were supposed to go there, I was going to pick up my daughter after work and he was going to come from his work and we were going to meet in the middle at the church. And I remember calling him on the way there saying, okay, I'm ready to get Katie. I'll be maybe a few minutes late or something. And I remember he was being tempted. The devil was kind of saying this might not be the right thing. And I remember mm-hmm. he said, I'm not sure if I'm going. I'm just not feeling very well with this right now.
Yeah.
And I just hung up and said, okay, God, I'm going to be there. Whatever happens is your will. And I prayed to St. Anthony. I remember praying, please, St. Anthony, let this man find truth.
Yeah.
And to me, whatever that was,
yeah.
I just wanted him to find truth and we would move forward, whatever the answer was. But when we got there that night and went through that session, afterwards, he said, I want to go to RCIA and become a Catholic.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, thank you. You found truth and you found it big for me. So a lot of it is just when you're willing to accept it, whatever it is, that's when God sneaks in the blessings.
Mm-hmm,
He says, okay, you trusted me. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. And don't try to force God's hand. Let God,
right.
God, lead and,
yes.
and we follow. One thing that I think is implicit in novenas is the Catholic doctrine of the communion of saints, because, you mentioned the Holy Spirit novena. So some of them are directly to God, but most of the ones you're mentioning are saints, God's mm-hmm. cooperators, you could say. And so this is a beautiful, teaching on the intercession of saints.
Yes.
And this is something that not all Christians really agree with, but it's very, very Catholic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yeah. And like you said, they've all got their own little realm of expertise, and they are very powerful in helping with things that they've gone through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we started, as you and I were doing a little pre-interview and a little bit of conversation, I said, I asked you if you go out and talk at parishes or to Knights of Columbus or women's groups or anything like that. You said you hadn't done a whole lot of that yet, but I think you should.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to ask, first of all, if that's something you're interested in, and maybe somebody listening right now has a group where, these kind of things are very popular, devotions. People are always wanting to find new ways to pray. And so are you available to that for that? And how should people get in touch with you if so?
I would love to. I'm so passionate about novenas. I would absolutely love to help anybody learn how to pray a novena or mm-hmm. or to talk about it.
Yeah. And you mentioned the one website. Are there any other resources or anybody written a book on it? Maybe the book. Sometimes I interview yeah. people and I was like, you need to write a book. And so I'm just going to plant that little seed in your mind as well about novenas. But any other resources before I move on to something?
There is a really good book and it's just called Novena.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't remember who wrote it. I think it's published by Penguin Books, but it's a wonderful, wonderful book.
All right. Very good. So my guest is Diane Voren. She and her husband, Maurice, are from St. Anne Parish, as I mentioned before. She is also a divisional advisor and publisher with Decided Excellence. We have a few minutes remaining. I want to talk about Decided Excellence because I've gotten to know you and Doreen Cheney through Decided Excellence. And I think it's a wonderful, small, localized way of keeping your faith local. So can you tell us about what it is and your involvement?
Oh, yes. Yeah, Decided Excellence puts out Catholic magazines that support little pockets of churches and Catholic geographies all throughout the U.S. I got involved during the pandemic because I was, you know, laid off from my job for just 2 months. So I started trying to launch one here in Dallas, and now I've launched three, and Doreen's launched two, and Michelle Shook had already launched one before I even got here. They're wonderful because they are just such a local inspiration. Mm-hmm. You know, we have people like Dave and his family were featured 1 month, people doing wonderful Catholic things right here in our backyards. And we can put calendars of events to drive people back to the ministries and back to the community activities and things like that, too.
And where are your three regions?
I have North Dallas, Highland Park, and Denton.
Okay. And they're always affiliated with particular parishes or groups of parishes. Is that right?
It's a geographical mailing list, but yeah. We do try to support the parishes they're in because we want to drive people back to Mass and, you know, getting reconciliation and the sacraments and things. So we want to make it easy. And we also like to have pastor notes and things that we can support these churches as the priest would like us to.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned to you and Doreen, when my family was featured in there was a number of different magazines, I got a lot of people that called me, even where I teach a class over the Highlands, and the executive director there saw it and posted it in the teacher's room, and so that everybody could see it. And I that's one of the ways that you know that it's hitting a lot of people, is that I get a lot of feedback, and people say, hey, I saw your story in the magazine. So, all right. So, Diane, what should people know about Decided Excellence? How can they help you? Can they subscribe? What are your needs with that?
Yeah, there's usually three things I need. I need families to feature. I need sponsors to place ads in the magazines, and I need some more sales help. You know, so I can grow this market a little bit more.
Somebody working for you,
yes.
Or okay,
yeah.
For a paid position or a volunteer?
Yeah, it's a commission pay.
Okay.
So, yeah.
They find sponsors.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Very good. And how should they get a hold of you?
I'll give you my cell number.
Okay.
It's 214-364-4360. My email address is just too long. It's dvoren@decidedexcellence.com.
Okay. And that's V-O-I-R-O-N?
It's D-V-O-I-R-I-N.
I-N. Okay. It's okay. So, and then maybe the phone number is a better way. 214-364-4360. And if somebody is interested in scheduling you or asking about your availability to come and talk about novenas, they can call that same number as well, right?
Yes.
Okay. 214-364-4360. See, I got you so busy now. You're going to write a book. You're going to start speaking, okay, and who knows what else next. Maybe start up a website, and because there's one thing that I've learned in Catholic radio is that people really want to learn more about prayer. They really want to grow in their devotions to the saints.
Thanks for listening to KATH 910 AM Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Catholic radio for your soul on the Guadalupe Radio Network in North Texas. Heard also at grnonline.com and on your smartphone. .org.